Comments?
Yes, I have two important comments to make about that. The first is that, as was pointed out before, with the growth of the Internet, with the growth of electronic commerce the way it is, case law and societal norms about how we treat this is an evolution. And it's not the government that sets and determines that. It's going to be a combination of congressional, state action, and individual decisions by courts and by private plaintiffs in terms of that. And you have to be part of that process. We don't set all of that. We don't make it all up. It's a process that involves all of us, and it certainly is a process in evolution. I don't claim that the current case law and the current laws that we have for protecting electronic communications privacy and information security are perfect. They've changed. The technology has changed, and we have to recognize that we're in evolution right now. So what I would ask is cut us a break in terms of saying you, the government, are doing this, and recognize the fact that we're in a rapid transition. The Congress is going to be involved in this. The state legislatures are going to be involved in this, and a lot of lawyers and court action are going to be involved. Second point is, in terms of sharing information with the government, one of the things we are working very carefully on right now is to make certain that the sort of case that you're involved in right there, where you are tracking somebody down and the like, that we have the mechanisms in place so that you can talk to us or talk to law enforcement as appropriate and not face the concerns about overreaction. It's a big issue. It's an issue we've never faced before. It raises a number of legal issues, both in terms of how corporations and lawyers look at it, as well as in terms of security and how law enforcement looks at it. But we are working on that very much.
I want to stop annoying your committees, but I don't want to send them to jail for 4 years. That's
the issue. In the back with glasses.
Well, there are several different categories of folks that didn't violate the law and have the same capability that you have. The problem is scope. Like I said in a couple of my slides, you can target individual systems. You can work when you want. Our folks have to protect everything, which is a huge problem. And we have good people out there who have a good set of morals. What we need for you guys to do is before you get caught and before you cause damage and ruin potential job security in the future is to come to our side, because you're going to get those same capabilities and you'll probably get better tools and you'll find out what the challenge really is.
Okay. Money. Over on the end. He basically said what part of this process is driven by getting a federal indictment under their belt.
I'm not a prosecutor. I'm an investigator.
Yeah.
So my job is
to collect. If you paid your $8.95 in advance, you could have heard the Department of Justice guy at Black Hat. But
and like I said earlier, when we start an investigation, we don't know who the bad guy is. We're not looking for script kiddies. We're looking for the folks who have can cause significant damage. So now that we run an investigation, it turns out to be a 21-year-old. Should we just turn our back? I don't think so.
The issue is, the question is, are some of the prosecutions just based off of somebody trying to simply get an additional prosecution or an indictment under their belt? I'm going to answer that from the perspective of the National Security Council at the White House and the focus that we're putting on cybersecurity right now. And I'll speak from that perspective and the funding and the focus that we're putting on that. We're concerned about threats to our economic and our national security that are not individual hackers. They're not disgruntled insiders. They're well-organized, well-funded, malicious groups that are trying to destroy our country. There are countries and there are terrorist groups.
Are you at liberty to say this?
I mentioned two of them earlier.
You said China and Russia.
Right. Have publicly talked about this. There are others.
Stand up. Loud. Screwy crypto laws. Let's go with Jeffrey Hunker on that from the National Security Council.
Because we don't want strong encryption in the hands of terrorists.
The comment / question made over here was, don't terrorists already have strong encryption?
Well,
okay.
You earlier stated that you believe that the American people have a right to defend their privacy, presumably that extends to the privacy of their information. I'm wondering how you justify that against the executive branch's position on ensuring that the public doesn't have access to strong, non-escrow key cryptography.
Will the government be ensuring our privacy if we can't do it for ourselves?
Could I have an easier question, please? There is.
Okay, let him comment.
Strong encryption is available to all Americans. The public key encryption and the key escrow proposals that have been made have the sort of legal protections to protect Americans' privacy rights.
Go ahead.
Earlier you said that groups that are just exposing problems and are bringing things to the attention of the public rap on it's bullshit. Do you oppose activities of groups such as the Loft who aren't maliciously cracking but may purchase a product on their own to expose
No, I think that's a great thing. Absolutely. You know, but as soon as you violate the law by breaking somebody else's privacy, that's a whole different issue. To test products, to hone your skills on your own systems or with permission, that's great. And that's the kind of people that we want.